I'm Giorgio Riello from the University of Warwick, and I'm here with curator Corinna Corrigan from the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem, Massachusetts, and we are in front of a very particular chair.
A glorious chair. This is a chair that was made in India by Indian craftsmen, but when we first look at it, it fundamentally looks like an English chair of the 1760s. It was made in Vizagapatam, a port city on the east coast of India, sort of halfway between Calcutta and Madras, a center, really an important port city, but also a center particularly known for ivory production from as early as the 17th century. You'll see that the form is entirely English, but fundamentally this is an Indian object in terms of both its materials and its ornamentation. The frame is constructed of sandalwood that has been entirely veneered in ivory, and then that ivory has been further ornamented with this very elaborate design in black lines. Indian craftsmen have engraved these ivory plaques and then added a black mastic, a black lac, into those engraved lines, let it dry, and polished it to create this wonderful contrast between black and white on the chair.
When you say that it is an English chair, how do you know that?
It relates very closely to many English and European chairs from the 1760s, most particularly designs by Thomas Chippendale, who was a great English cabinet maker, but is known certainly to us today, and was even known most particularly in the 18th century for the pattern books that he printed. These pattern books were widely distributed throughout England, throughout Europe, and even as far away as the American colonies and India during the 18th century.
So do we know if this chair that was produced in India, that is clearly inspired by a Chippendale object, was in reality produced by using one of these pattern books?
We know that copies of Chippendale's Director, as they were called, were in India, but the proportions of this chair relate so closely and so accurately to a European chair of the 18th century that we think it's probably more likely that Indian craftsmen had a full chair, a three-dimensional object in front of them when they were creating this. There are a number of parts of the design that are very closely related to Chippendale designs, but certainly no Indian craftsman would ever have created this wonderfully moving backsplat that's composed of intertwining serpents, nor would an Indian craftsman have ornamented this with the crest rail, the top of the chair, with these heads of Mankara, mythical sea serpents with their flaming tongues and the scales on their neck. What is very typical of English chairs of this period are the acanthus leaves that are ornamenting the knees of the chair. The English example would have been three-dimensional, but the Indian craftsmen have translated that into this much more two-dimensional form, the ivory veneer, by simply recreating that three-dimensionality in terms of black and white lines.
It reminds me a bit of a kind of printing, the final effect. And I understand it is not in terms of process, but it reminds me of a kind of system, like if it was printed.
I think there's a wonderful relationship between printing in the 18th century and this technique, not so much particularly with this chair, but other examples of furniture produced in Vizagapatam in the 18th century. In fact, we even have examples of desks and bookcases with views of King's College on them, very fancifully interpreted by Indian craftsmen, but very clearly taken from English engravings of the 18th century. And that wonderful contrast of black and white, I think, is relating very much to that.
It's a great pity it was far too early to have a view of the University of Warwick on this object.
We'll see what we can do about that.
We might have a replica. Tell me a bit more about the use of chairs. How common was the use of chairs in 18th century India?
During this period and prior to this, life in India was fundamentally lived on the ground, lived on textiles, on wonderful and sumptuous carpets with bolsters. And so this would have been a very foreign object, a very foreign way of living in India in the 18th century. This is fundamentally a custom introduced by Europeans. It certainly was very comfortable to the Europeans residing in India during this period, but we know that many Indian noblemen also adopted this form of seating in limited ways, partly for their own entertainment, but also when entertaining European guests.
Now, you mentioned textiles, and that's another thing that kind of came to my mind when I looked at this chair, that there are some of the motifs that reminds me very much of 18th century Indian textiles.
It's very astute of you. Visakhapatnam was certainly known in the 17th and 18th century for this kind of ivory production, but in many respects, it's much more important as a center both for textile production and the export of wonderful Indian cottons that incorporate many of these wonderful sprig designs that we see throughout the chair. And I think there is very much of a strong relationship in terms of the design. The combination of European and Indian designs in textiles is also happening quite wonderfully in this chair and other furniture from Visakhapatnam.
Tell me something about the unique nature of this chair in two senses. First of all, was this the product of one artisan only, or was it, you know, the kind of product that is produced by a workshop? And do we have similar pieces, or is it just one piece that is indeed incredibly beautiful but unique?
As in England during this period, in India, this would have been an object that incorporated the skills of multiple craftsmen, from the people working with the sandalwood frame, different artists working with the ivory, still different artists adding the ornamentation to this, joiners constructing this. So it really was very much the work of many hands to create this. As beautiful as this is, and as expensive an object as this would have been in the 18th century, there were dozens and dozens of these. We know that there were large sets, just as you'd expect in a European dining room of the 18th century, multiple chairs. In fact, Queen Elizabeth at Buckingham Palace has a set of, I think, 14 chairs and multiple settees, all from Visakhapatnam that are very closely related to this chair. So it certainly wouldn't have been unique, very expensive, very lavish, only owned and used by prominent people, but certainly they were produced in large quantities.
Karina, I'm asking you a difficult question. Is this a hybrid object?
I would completely define this as a hybrid object. In fact, I think most of Asian export art is an exercise in hybridity. This is both an English object and an Indian object, and neither. It's incorporating aspects of multiple traditions, both within England and in India, multiple skill sets, design motifs, and in many respects, what emerges from that is both Indian and English and neither.
Karina, can you tell me something about why this chair is now in your museum, the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem?
The Peabody Essex is located in Salem, Massachusetts, and so you might be surprised to find this very high-style Anglo-Indian chair in a coastal city of New England. And yet, the Victoria and Albert Museum in London and the Peabody Essex Museum together hold the largest repositories of Anglo-Indian furniture in the world. Salem merchants traded very heavily with both China and India. In fact, by one account, Calcutta merchants thought that Salem must be an entire country because no one city could be sending so many ships to India. And so historically, we were really focused on and collecting works that related specifically to the American China trade, the American trade with India. But in the last 25 years, we've really expanded the definition of the kinds of works that we're interested in acquiring and sharing with the public, and looking much more broadly at the definition of Asian export art, which is what I focus on. This is a chair that we acquired in London in 1993, and it certainly is one of the highlights of this important collection of Anglo-Indian furniture in Salem.
I'm very pleased that the two partners of our network, the Peabody Essex and the V&A, can provide so many chairs for the entire conference that we're going to hold soon at the University of Warwick. Thank you so much, Karina.
My pleasure.